All right. So, today we are reading from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 18, text 30. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, so this text is prose rather than poetry. So I'm just going to read the text three times, and then we'll go on to the word-by-word synonyms. Om Namo Bhagavate Akuparaya Sarvasatvaguna Visheshanayanu Palakshitastanaya Namo Varshmane Namo Bhumne Namo Namo Vastanaya Namaste. Om Namo Bhagavate Akuparaya Sarvasattva Guna Visheshanayanu Palakshitastanaya Namo Varshmane Namo Bhumne Namo Namo Vastanaya Namaste. Om Namo Bhagavate Akuparaya Sarvasattva Guna Visheshanayanu Palakshitastanaya Namo Varshmane Namo Bhumne Namo Namo Vastanaya Namaste. So you could repeat. Om. O my Lord. Namaha. Respectful obeisances. Bhagavate. Unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Akuparaya. In the form of a tortoise. Sarvasattvaguna Visheshanaya. Whose form consists of Shuddha Sattva. Transcendental goodness. Anupalakshitastanaya. Unto you whose position is not discernible. In other words, you can't see him. Namaha. My respectful obeisances. Varshmane. Unto you who, although the oldest, are unaffected by time. Namaha. My respectful obeisances. Bhumne. To the Great One, who can go everywhere. Nama namaha. Repeated obeisances. Avastanaya. The shelter of everything. Namaha. Respectful obeisances. Te. Unto you. So translation. O my Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who have assumed the form of a tortoise. You are the reservoir of all transcendental qualities, and being entirely untinged, that means untouched, by matter, you are perfectly situated in pure goodness. You move here and there in the water, but no one can discern your position. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Because of your transcendental position, you are not limited by past, present, and future. You are present everywhere as the shelter of all things, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the Brahma Sanghita, it is said, Galoka evi navasyati okilatma bhutaha. The Lord always remains in Galoka, the topmost planet in the spiritual world. At the same time, He is all-pervading. This paradox is only possible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of all opulences. The Lord's all-pervasiveness is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, text 61, where Krishna states, Ishvara sarvabhutanam rideshi arjuna tishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated or seated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter, text 15, the Lord says, Sarvasya chaham vidhi sanavishto matak smritir gyanavapovanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Therefore, although the Lord is present everywhere, He cannot be seen with ordinary eyes. As Aryama says, the Lord is anupalakshita sthana. No one can locate Him. This is the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, again the verse, Om Namo Bhagavate Akuparaya Sarvasattvaguna Visheshanayannu Palakshita Stanaya Namo Varshmane Namo Bhune Namo Namo Vastanaya Namaste. So, Om Ganatimadandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So here, Prabhupada is quoting from the Brahma Sanghita. The Brahma Sanghita states, in this verse he quotes from Galoka Yevna Vashti Akilatma Bhuta, that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Because Galoka is Vrindavan. And then at the same time, he's everywhere. So this is a great mystery. So of course, we have this pastime 5,000 years ago, a little more than 5,000 years ago, where Krishna apparently left Vrindavan. We find that after 16 years of age, Krishna was called by Kamsa, his nice uncle, and a Kuru was sent to get Krishna out of Vrindavan. And so Krishna left Vrindavan. And the residents of Vrindavan were left simply with their misery. And they were crying. I mean, there's some stories in the Lalita Madhava how certain of Krishna's associates, like the gopis, like Radharani and Lalita Vishaka, they actually ended their lives when Krishna left Vrindavan, because they could not bear to live. One may also ask why they didn't leave Vrindavan. That's also another question. Why they didn't leave Vrindavan and they didn't go to Mathura with Krishna. And those are questions we're going to answer. So anyway, so Lalita Madhava, you actually have them appearing in Mathura and Vrindavan. Appearing in Mathura, sorry. And also appearing in Dwarka, later on, and I'm not going to tell the story from Lalita Madhava, as their expansions of Satyabhama, Rukmini, and Krishna's other wives, like Jambavati. So, how do we explain this, that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan? Well, first of all, Krishna is always there in Vrindavan, but he's not manifest, just like it's described here in the verse, that he's hidden. It's called aprakrita lila. That means Krishna is still enacting his lila of Vrindavan today, but he cannot be seen. He's not manifest. I mean, sometimes people think they see Krishna in Vrindavan, but it's just their own imagination. Just like that story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya was in Vrindavan. And his servant, Balabhadra, was asking Lord Chaitanya if he could go to see Krishna. Because there was some rumor that Krishna was appearing, dancing on the Jamuna every night. Dancing on the heads of the Kaliya serpent every night in the Jamuna. So the reason that that rumor was there was that there was a fisherman who was fishing every night on the Jamuna, and he was holding a lantern because, of course, hopefully none of you know how to catch fish. He was holding a lantern to attract the fish. And so as he was holding the lantern, he was moving the lantern, so everyone thought that those were the hoods of the Kaliya serpent, and Krishna was dancing on the hoods of the Kaliya serpent. Great illusion. And then this servant of Lord Chaitanya, and remember, Lord Chaitanya is God himself. That is Krishna himself in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So this servant of Lord Chaitanya asked Lord Chaitanya, can I go see Krishna tonight? In other words, he was asking Krishna whether he could go to see Krishna. Kind of interesting. I'm not going to say it was stupid, because that was Yogamaya. He was a pure devotee of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya slapped him. He said, do you think Krishna's going to appear in this Kali Yuga like that? Because it is Kali Yuga. And so Krishna is not going to manifest himself. I mean, he does make exceptions. I'm going to talk about that in a second. But generally, he's not going to manifest himself externally to the vision during Kali Yuga. Now, as far as the exceptions are concerned, there are some exceptions. There's the exception when Madhavendra Puri was in Vrindavan, Krishna appeared to have brought him some milk. There's the exception when Raghunath Das Goswami was meditating on the banks of the Radhakund, and there was a tiger nearby. Krishna appeared with a stick to protect him from the tiger. You know that story? Interesting story. Because Raghunath Das Goswami was so renounced, he never built a kutir, never built a place for himself. And there's the story, of course, when Raghunath Das Goswami was meditating, chanting the holy names of the Lord on the banks of the Radhakund. In the middle of the summer, when it was very hot, Radharani appeared, and she held her veil over Raghunath Das Goswami to protect him from the sun. So these are exceptions. There's always an exception to the rule. So generally Krishna doesn't appear, but he's there in Vrindavan. Anyone who has a little bit of devotion, who goes to Vrindavan, will be able to perceive Krishna's presence there. Even though they may not see Krishna, you can perceive Krishna's presence below what's called the veneer, that means a thin layer, of Yogamaya that protects the holy dham from the rascals. I mean, some rascals go to Vrindavan and they just see what? The pigs, the hogs, the dogs, the dirt, plastic bags, which is all there too. But below that, it's Krishna there. Krishna is there in Vrindavan. He never leaves Vrindavan. Always enjoying his pastimes. And then, anyway, so Krishna is always in Vrindavan. At the same time, he's in unlimited pastimes, as we described the other day. Krishna has incarnations in every species of life. At the same time, he's in Dwarka, married to 16,108 wives, each time enacting different pastimes in each and every wife. In other words, he's amazing. That's the whole point, that he's God. I mean, some people think that God can't do certain things. Like that typical story that's told about Narada Muni, the cobbler and the Brahmin. Narada Muni, and we can tell the story because some of you may not have heard that story, that Narada Muni is visiting a Brahmin first, and he tells the Brahmin, I'm going to see Lord Narayan. And the Brahmin says, oh, very nice. Please, ask Lord Narayan when I'm going back to Godhead. And then he goes to the cobbler, and the cobbler, of course, asks the same thing. So Narada Muni goes to Narayan, comes back to the material world, goes to the Brahmin, and the Brahmin says, what was Lord Narayan doing? And Narada Muni says he's putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. And the Brahmin says, I don't believe it. When did Lord Narayan say I was going back to Godhead? And Narada Muni said, millions of births. And the Brahmin said, get out of here. I don't think you saw Lord Narayan. Then he goes to the cobbler. And the cobbler means someone who makes shoes. And the cobbler says, same thing. What was Lord Narayan doing? God bless you. What was Lord Narayan doing? And Narada Muni says he was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. And Lord Narayan, putting an elephant through the eye of a needle, that's pretty amazing. And the cobbler doesn't even think that it's so amazing. And then the cobbler asks, when am I going back to Godhead? And Narada Muni says, right away. And the cobbler says, you know, fantastic. Because he's not that calm when he says, fantastic. And Narada Muni says, how could you believe that Lord Narayan was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle? And the cobbler says, you know, that's easy for him. I mean, he's able to put a whole tree into a seed. So what's the problem with putting an elephant through the eye of a needle? Obviously, he can do anything. He's unlimited. And at the same time, an even more amazing thing, he appears, even though he's unlimited, he appears in Goloka Vrindavan and acts his intimate pastimes with his devotees. That's pretty nice, that someone is so great, and then someone could just like have these intimate exchanges in Goloka Vrindavan. So that's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So is the tortoise incarnation here. He's enjoying very much swimming in the water. Krishna appears in this material world, in spite of being in Goloka Vrindavan, to enjoy certain pastimes that are not enjoyed in the spiritual world, such as the pastimes of killing demons. You may say, what's the enjoyment in killing demons? What's the enjoyment in doing things in this material world? These are the indirect rasas. The indirect rasas are such like chivalry, anger, humor, shock, ghastliness, things that cannot be, some of them cannot be fully expressed in the spiritual world. Humor certainly can. So Krishna comes to fully experience these different indirect rasas, like the ghastliness in killing the demons. Sometimes it's described like when Lord Parashurama appears, there's rivers of blood. Or Krishna appears to exhibit some chivalrous activities, like when he saved Draupadi. Draupadi was apparently going to be disrobed, and he provided the unlimited saris, or unlimited cloth. So in this way, Krishna's the enjoyer. He's the supreme enjoyer. And then Krishna's in our hearts, as described here. Anyway, so hearing about all these things just makes us love Krishna more and more. How Krishna's amazing, unlimited, everywhere, enjoying in the spiritual world, and he still cares for us, being in our hearts. Anyway, we'll keep it short, not much more to say, because I talked about karma incarnation the other day. So any questions or comments about any of these points? Questions, comments? This is your last chance. Yes.
Why is the separation the highest form of love?
Why? Even in this material world, what do they say? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. You ever heard of that before? Absence, that means separation. Absence is separation. Makes the heart grow fonder. So, in other words, you don't really appreciate so much what you have until you lose it. For example, when Srila Prabhupada left this world, actually the devotees, sincere devotees, actually appreciated Prabhupada more. because we were taking Prabhupada for granted. Even in Krishna's rasa dance, let's talk about the rasa dance, for example, when Krishna was still in Vrindavan. Krishna was with the gopis, and then he left the gopis to be with Srimati Radharani, right? And then he left Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani was thinking, I'm the most fortunate. Of course, I mean, this is a pastime. I cannot criticize in any way Srimati Radharani. And so then Krishna left her, and they were all feeling separation. So the mood becomes more intense at that point. Now, the interesting thing is, because I actually said that I would comment about Krishna leaving Vrindavan, so on separation. So the interesting thing is, when the mood is more intense and one is meditating on Krishna, that meditation on Krishna, Krishna's holy names, Krishna's remembrance are all non-different from him. If you are feeling separation from some material beloved, I mean, for example, I mean, just talk about myself. I don't have a material beloved, but let's say the other day I was actually thinking about my father, and I was feeling some separation from him. This is a good father. He bought me everything I ever wanted. He gave me sports cars, and we had no mobile phones at that time, but, you know, we had boats, sports cars, airplanes, anything I wanted, I just asked him. Wow, pretty good. It's like a desire tree. So I was feeling a little sadness because, you know, I missed him. Okay? I mean, I have to admit, maybe I'm in Maya. So we do have people in this world we miss. So I was thinking, oh, it's so nice. Well, I was thinking, and I wish he was with me today, you know, chanting Hare Krishna. So I sort of dovetailed it in Krishna's service. So, but by that remembrance, he wasn't present. You know, sometimes people have dreams about their departed ancestors, fathers, or something like that, but the person's not present. He's not present in the dream. He's not present in the feeling of separation. Whereas Krishna and his pure devotees are present when you're feeling their separation. So in other words, the mood is more intense, and they're actually present. You can feel their presence. Just like you can feel Krishna's presence when you go to Vrindavan. So you can feel the presence of Krishna when you're feeling separation from him. Like Lord Chaitanya prays in the Shikshashtika, O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like a yuga. It's not actually 12 years or more, it's actually a yuga. So it's more intense, and then you're more connected with Krishna. I mean, it's hard to understand from a material perspective where we're not more connected with someone when we're feeling their separation. But from a spiritual perspective, we're more connected with that particular individual. And I experienced that with Prabhupada. That the more I feel separation from Prabhupada, the more I think I want to be with you, Prabhupada. I want to serve you, Prabhupada. I mean, sometimes we're listening to Srila Prabhupada's, or the remnants, the remembrances of Srila Prabhupada's devotees who served him for some period of time, like Shrutakirti Peru and others. It just evokes a mood of separation in my heart, wishing that I had taken more advantage of Srila Prabhupada's association when he was present years ago. You know, obviously we didn't know what we had when we had it. And so, anyway, so then Prabhupada is present. You miss something. You miss someone tremendously. And so the gopis, they miss Krishna tremendously when Krishna left Vrindavan. And so Krishna's leaving Vrindavan was actually a method by which the gopis could become closer to him. It's hard to understand. I mean, it's not that some husband should say that to his wife. I'm leaving you so you can become closer to me. It doesn't work like that. But Krishna, Krishna's remembrance, Krishna's name, Krishna's pastimes are all non-different. So when we read Krishna book, Krishna is present before us. Is that it? Answer the question? Thank you for the question. Nice question. So any other questions? Yes, Manjari. Well, I said I would answer that question. Because Krishna is always present in Vrindavan in his original form. When Krishna leaves Vrindavan, he expands. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. I was going to explain Kaloka Yavani Bhashati Akilat Muputa. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan because when Krishna appears to leave Vrindavan, it's as his expansion. And the gopis can't relate to Krishna's expansion in an intimate way. When the gopis saw Krishna, when Krishna was in Vrindavan, when the gopis saw Krishna manifesting himself as his expansion, the Chaturbhuj, four-handed form of Narayan, the gopis, instead of saying, Krishna, you know, we love you, they said to Narayan, where is Krishna? In other words, Krishna was hiding. He was hiding out as his four-armed form. And Krishna is the same, of course, the same person. Jai Shishi Panchatattva Panchatattva Ki Jai. So the gopis simply asked directions from Narayan. They didn't say, you know, we love you. They said, please tell us. Of course, they offered obeisances. They said, please tell us where Krishna is. So they're not interested in these other forms of Krishna. I mean, they know about the other forms, but they're not interested. They can't relate. Just like if you have a close relationship with someone, let's say, you know, someone's husband or something like that, and then when the husband is at his business place, you know, it's harder for the wife to relate to the husband in that situation. So the husband has to come home. You know, when are you coming home? Come home right now. So because the wife can relate to him in that intimate exchange. So the gopis could not relate to Krishna out of Vrindavan. And it really, because it wasn't, it's the same Krishna, Advaita Chuta Anadir Ananta Rupa Madhyam Purana Purusham Navyovanam Cha. There's only one God. It's the same God, the same Krishna, but the way he was manifesting himself, they couldn't relate to. Because there was no intimacy. Only with Krishna in Vrindavan do you have these four qualities of loving exchanges, intimate pastimes, unexcelled beauty, intimate devotees, and of course, playing a flute. Krishna doesn't touch his flute out of Vrindavan. Doesn't take it out of Vrindavan. So devotees, actually Prabhupada one time said in a purport, it was very interesting, he says devotees are not, I mean this was out of us in a mood of ecstasy, devotees are not interested in any other form other than the form of Krishna and Vrindavan. Of course, we do take interest in other forms of Krishna outside of Vrindavan, like Lord Nrsingadeva and everything like that. But when we see these other forms of Krishna, we understand, as Jayadeva Goswami writes in his Gita Govinda, Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa, Keshavadrita Kurma Sharira, Keshavadrita Rama Sharira, Keshavadrita Haladara Rupa, that it's Krishna doing all these things. We see Krishna. And as devotees of Krishna, most of us were only interested in worshipping Krishna, ultimately going back to Goloka Vrindavan. But if you want to go back to Goloka Vrindavan, you have to worship Krishna in a spontaneous way. Ultimately, I mean, of course, not right now for most of us, one has to give up the concentration or the idea that you're doing everything because it's a rule and a regulation that's called Vaidhi, and ultimately start to serve Krishna intimately. In other words, spontaneously, that's called Raganuga Bhakti. But that occurs when one is more or less free of anarthas, one is more or less on the stage of nishta, rather than in the immature stages of Krishna consciousness. But we should be aware that that's what's ahead for us. Because if you keep worshipping Krishna in awe and reverence, then you go to Vaikuntha, you don't go to Goloka Vrindavan. So we are interested in going to Goloka Vrindavan to associate with Krishna intimately. Okay? Yeah.
I don't understand how, like, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, but then when he does, his feet are special. So, like, all, everybody are under the yoga mat and they can't see him?
Yeah.
Or he's hiding or
what? No, it's yoga maya. They can't see him. He's there. He doesn't manifest himself. You know, he's like the Invisible Man. I don't know if you remember that TV show, The Invisible Man. I mean, he's there. He's there. I mean, once in a while, there's an exception, as I mentioned before. Krishna may manifest himself to some devotee for a second, just to increase the devotee's intense desire. But as far as the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, it's described in the prayers by Srinivasacharya. They were chasing after Krishna. They could not see Krishna. Hey, Radhe, hey, Brajadevak, hey, Nanda, Shuna. Where are you, Krishna? Where are you, Srimati Radharani? Hey, Nanda Sutta. Where are you? And this way they were running around Vrindavan, always looking for Krishna. Although Krishna was there. Yeah, in one sense you could say he's hiding. And that increases the devotee's intense desire. Because they cannot see Krishna. And then they can chant in the right mood. I mean, what would you do if you saw Krishna right now? You'd what? Yeah, for a few minutes. But then you become complacent after some time. Oh, here's Krishna, okay. And then after a while, if you have some material desire, you say, Krishna, I have this list. I would like a Tesla. I don't know if you know what a Tesla is. I mean, I'm just giving Krishna my own list. I'm not giving him your list. You know, you probably just want a new sari or something. But, I would like a Tesla, my own private jet. Krishna, please give me these things. I mean, like in many Hindus, they chant this prayer, Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari, Swami Jaya Jagadisha Hari, asking things from Krishna. My dear Krishna, please give me a house by the sea, make me happy. What? Color TV? Well, everybody has a color TV now. There's no more black and white TVs. So, that's the old days. So, what do we do? Because we're not free of material desires. So, ultimately, we're not going to be able to just, concentrate on Krishna until we become free of the anarthas. Even if Krishna was directly here. He is directly here on the altar. But how many of us can appreciate that? How many of us, or how many of our minds wander when we're in front of the deities? And that's Krishna. So, I mean, anyway, if Krishna was walking in this room in front of you, yes, you'd be shocked, you'd probably faint. But, after a while, you go back to work. You go back to Croatia, yeah. You say to Krishna, I have to take care of all the guests that are coming. Do my yoga practice. Look for some solution to my health problems, Krishna. So I'll come back sometime to see you. So that's one reason why Krishna doesn't appear. Because we're not... I mean, even when Krishna did appear, like Prabhupada mentions, there were only a handful of people who really appreciated Krishna. you know, especially talking about the Mahabharata time. I mean, Duryodhana saw Krishna. And what happened? You know, he even saw Krishna exhibit a type of universal form in which, you know, he saw all the universes, everything within Krishna, and, you know, yet he tried to capture Krishna. So, we should try to have Krishna see us rather than see Krishna at this particular point. What will we do? All right. Another question? But Krishna's there in Vrindavan. I mean, I could experience him, and I'm not such a great devotee. I go to Govardhan, I experience Krishna there. I experience all the residents of Vrindavan, all the residents of Govardhan as being, you know, eternally liberated souls. So, any other questions? Yes. Yes. As far as dreams? Is that the question? Yeah, Krishna can appear in dreams. Prabhupada can appear in dreams. Yes. Certainly. But sometimes it's not actually Krishna or Prabhupada or a spiritual master. Sometimes it's our own mental concoction that we have a dream. You know, I've had that experience too, that somebody has a dream, a disciple has a dream, and said, Guru Maharaj, you said to me in a dream I should do this. And I said, no, you shouldn't. But why are you disagreeing with your dream? I said, that was not me. That was Maya me. No, Maya Krishna. So, you know, dreams should always be what we call corroborated or confirmed by talking to the Vaishnavas. That's right. Close it. By asking the Vaishnavas, what do you think? I had a dream. Prabhupada told me to go hang gliding. But that was just my own desire. So one has to be careful of dreams. Yes, but when the spiritual master does appear in dreams, Prabhupada had dreams of his spiritual master. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was beckoning to Prabhupada to take sannyas. Prabhupada actually said in that dream, when he was experiencing the dream, he was horrified. Because Prabhupada had some culture. In the Western world, if someone says, you know, give up your wife, the devotee would say, Haribo. Was always looking for an excuse. So, but Prabhupada was a cultured person, so it went against the culture. Like that. I mean, there was always culture and feeling of responsibility, but in the West, we don't have so much of a feeling, a mood of responsibility. But anyway, Prabhupada had this dream, and that was his spiritual master. Prabhupada had another dream. On the boat coming over, and he dreamt of the various incarnations of Krishna, including the Kurma avatar, who was being mentioned here. They were rowing the boat to take Prabhupada across the ocean. And so they were actually there in the dream. It's nice, isn't it? So Krishna can appear in dreams. But in Kali Yuga, he's not going to, unless you have some exceptional case, come in front of you and just have a little conversation with you. He's not going to come into your bedroom at night and sit on your bed and tell you bedtime stories. He's there in his holy name. So any other questions or comments? Questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues? Yes. Yes. Yeah, but they wanted Lord Chaitanya showed that they wanted to drag Krishna back to Vrindavan. They couldn't relate with Krishna There was a certain poem that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made up. You are the same Krishna and I'm the same Radharani, but I really want to enjoy with you on the banks of the Jamuna River, the Vetasi tree. So in other words, let's bring you back to Vrindavan so we can relate to you. Not that, I mean, they couldn't relate to Krishna as a king. Here you are as a king, you know, Dwarka. We want to enjoy or be with you in your intimate mood in Vrindavan. Because only in Vrindavan is that intimate mood, a Vrindavan in Mayapur, is that intimate mood exhibited. Other places, I mean, let's say you go to Tirupati, you go to Srirangam, it's very nice. But the mood is awe and reverence there. In Vrindavan, there's an intimate mood. It's a very special mood in Vrindavan. Especially Govardhan, Vrindavan. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Krishna is in anxiety. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that specific mood is exhibited. That Krishna expresses that I was in so much anxiety, talking about this one devotee, Gopakumar, who came back to Godhead. He said, I was so much anxiety, I was wondering, when are you going to come back to me, that I even came down and appeared as your spiritual master. And then when he finally gets back to Godhead, Krishna is so relieved that he embraces him and falls to the ground and becomes unconscious. And the gopis and the other residents of Vrindavan are thinking that Krishna has been hurt by this person. Whereas Krishna has actually experienced so much happiness having the devotee back with him. So that's like, with all of us, that's like every man's and every man's story. With all of us, Krishna is experiencing anxiety because we're not ready to see him. And Krishna will greet us in the same way when we get back. He'll hug us and faint. If we get back, you know, when and if. So Krishna, that's how much Krishna loves us. It's amazing. I mean, it's amazing how much Krishna loves us, and we have rejected him, Krishna Bahir Mukha. And Krishna loves us so much, he's in anxiety about us. He sends his pure devotee. He sends Prabhupada. Prabhupada tells the story that Krishna told him, come down to the earth planet. And Prabhupada said, how can I go there? And Krishna said, you have to come and write your books. And he agreed. Because of Krishna's love for us. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? How many of us would love someone who rejected us? That's a hard one. Someone who says, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. I just want to imitate you. I want to use your money for myself. It's like a big divorce where the wife sues the husband, I'm taking all your money. Of course, that's a different situation. So, can you imagine that? Like, I mean, let's say some friend, let's forget about romantic relationships because I'm a sannyasi, but let's say some friend says to you, I hate you, but I'm taking all your money. And I want to enjoy your money. And I want to forget you. And then you still love him? So we have said that to Krishna. That we want to enjoy Krishna's opulence. Ishwaroham aham bhogi. Siddoham balavan sukhi. We want to be the controller. We want to be perfect, powerful, happy, the center. And then Krishna still loves us. And Krishna not only loves us, he's an anxiety. Wants us back with him. Are you going, Baladev? Okay, we'll see you in July. Enjoy. So, I think we have to end now. It's time. We want to thank you all for listening so nicely, and thank you for this nice visit. I'll be coming back in July, participating in Padyatra, a nice Padyatra, taking some photos of Padyatra. So, thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.